नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडेस सेशन। We have been discussing from the fifth chapter for some weeks now, and today, hopefully, Krishna willing, we will try to complete the chapter today. So today, I will do one last recap of what we have done. I know I have done this many times, but still, it will be a good, you know, it's my conditioning, so kindly accept it. So because that will help us just get into the flow of what, because if we had been meeting every day, then I would not bother to give such a long recap. But because we are meeting once a week, we have so many other things to do, so therefore this recap might be helpful for those who get just, you know, I know at least some of you like Shyamalal Prabhu and others, you know, you have, that's the only time that you get during the week where you can focus and hear. So rest of that day, you are busy with so many things. So I will take this opportunity to just, you know, do a quick recap. And hopefully, we will try to complete the chapter today. So as I mentioned last time, you know, this fifth chapter starts with the very same question, seemingly the same question that Arjuna asked at the beginning of third chapter. The beginning of third chapter, Arjuna asked this question: Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tan kim karmani gorema niyojayasi keshava. So if you think karma, if you think jnana is better than karma, then why you are engaging me in this kind of then why you are asking me to engage in karma? Vyamishreneva vakyena buddhim mohayasi vame. Tad ekam vada nischitya yena shreyoham apniyan. You are confusing me with equivocal words. Tell me clearly what I should do. So, either karma or jnana. And interestingly, at the beginning of fifth chapter, he is asking the same question. Sanyasam karmanam krishna punar yogam cha shamsasi. Yet shreya etayor ekam tanme bruhisa nischitam. Tell me one thing, whether I should practice karma or jnana. Okay. The difference is that when Arjuna asked this question at the beginning of third chapter, Arjuna was qualified actually for karma. He was qualified for karma or nishkama karma yoga. But when he asked the same question at the beginning of fifth chapter, Arjuna has become qualified for jnana. So that is why if you see, the answer that Krishna gives in the third chapter and fifth chapter is different. In the third chapter, when Krishna answers this question, Krishna talks about adhikar. Lokesmin vividanishta pura prokta mayanaga jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. Arjuna, there are two kinds of people. Some people are qualified for karma and some people are qualified for jnana. Because you are qualified for tasmad asaktah satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hi acharan karma param apnoti purusha. Because Arjuna, you are not qualified for jnana, you are qualified for karma. Therefore, I am asking you to perform karma. This is what Krishna said. But in the fifth chapter, when he is apparently asking the same question, Krishna is giving a totally different answer. Krishna says, sanyasa karma yogascha nishreyasa karavu bhav. Tayostu karma sanyasat karma yogo vishishyate. So in the second time when he asked this question in the fifth chapter, because Arjuna has reached the qualification of jnana, so Krishna tells, oh Arjuna, actually whether you, now that you have reached the stage of jnana, sanyasa and karma yoga. So karma yoga is grihastha sanyas, sanyasa is karma sanyas. So he says, either grihastha sannyas or karma sannyas, both can give you liberation. But of the two, grihastha sannyas is better because it is safe. That's what he says, right? So he says that sannyasa karma yogascha nishreyasa karavubhav tayostu karma sannyasat karma yogo vishishyate. Of the two, grihastha sannyas is better because grihastha sannyas gives you the opportunity of, just in case you realize that your heart is not yet purified, then by, because in the practice of grihastha sannyas, you do not, at least you do not give up your varnashrama duties. Therefore, those varnashram duties will purify you of any remaining impurities that may be there in your heart. Okay. So therefore, you practice grihastha sannyas, O Arjuna. That is better. Then he says, Gyayasya nitya sannyasi yonadveshti na kangshati nirdvandohi mahabaho skambandat pramuchyate. And understand that that grihastha sannyasi to be a nitya sannyasi. Nitya sannyasi means a constant sannyasi, because he has internally achieved that qualification. And what is that qualification? Yonadveshti na kangshati. He neither hates anything nor desires anything. Sukam bandhat pramuchyate. Such a person can easily free himself from bondage because his heart has become purified from inside. And also sukam, because in case if he has made a mistake of evaluating whether his heart is purified or not, that is no problem. His practice of varnashrama will take care of it. Sankhya yoga pratak balaha pravadanti na panditaha ekam api astita samyak ubayor vindate phalam. Only a foolish person will think that a grihastha sannyasi cannot attain liberation because he has not externally taken sannyas. Okay. Ekam api astita samyak ubayor vindate phalam. Whether you take the position of a qualified grihastha sannyas or a qualified karma sannyas, anything that you may practice, you will achieve the same goal of liberation. So only a foolish person will think that grihastha sannyas and karma sannyas are different. Yat sankehi prapyate sthanam tadyogairapi gamyate ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha yap pashyati tapashyati. So whatever goal of liberation is achievable by karma sannyas is equally attainable by grihastha sannyas. Therefore, one who clearly understands that grihastha sannyas and karma sannyas to be the same, he is the one who really understands this process, which one should not see externally. One should start seeing in, you know, the internal aspect of renunciation. Okay. Then he says, sannyasastu mahabaho dukkamaptum ayogatah yoga yukto manirbrahma na chirenadi gacchati. So he says that if someone prematurely takes up to sannyas without perfectly practicing nishkama karma yoga and purifying the heart, then he will attain lot of trouble. It will become very difficult for him. But yoga yukto munir brahma na chirenadi gacchati. But the grihastha sannyasi, he will very easily attain the fruit because he's taken up a safe path. And the moment his heart becomes actually purified, then he can internally meditate on the Brahman, even though externally he may be practicing the varnashrama duties. So then he says that yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan apina lupyate. So this grihastha sannyasi, because he has controlled his intelligence, he has controlled his mind, and he has controlled his senses, which means internally he is qualified for jnana, but externally he is yoga yuktah, he may be performing his varnashrama duties. So such a person, kurvan api na lupyate, even though he may be engaged in his varnashrama duties, he will not be contaminated by that. Naiva kinchit karomi iti yukto manyata tatvavit pashyan shrinvan sprishan jihran ashnan gachan swapan swashan pralapan visirjan grannan unmishan nimishan api indriyani indriyarteshu vartanta iti dharayan. So how is it that the grihastha sannyasi is qualified for liberation? Because he is not on the platform of false ego. He is functioning on the platform of true ego. He understands that in all my actions, it is only the senses which are in touch with the sense objects. I am not doing anything. He is not on the platform of prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. No, not on that platform. On the other hand, tattvavittu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayoho guna guneshu vartanta iti matvana sanchate. So he very clearly understands that in all my activities of seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, etc., it is only the senses which are coming in touch with the sense objects. I, the soul, I am not doing anything. It is only prakriti which is accomplishing it. So because he is performs with this kind of an understanding, a grihastha sannyasi, even though engaging in all kinds of activities, he is not bound. Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiyaha lipyate nasa papena padmapatra mivambasa. So he says, that grihastha sannyasi, giving up his attachment mentally, Brahmanyadaya karmani offers his actions to the Supreme Lord, lipyate nasa papena padmapatra mivambasa. Because the grihastha sannyasi is internally detached again and again, and he offers his actions to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his actions does not generate any papa or punya. Kayena sa buddhya kevalair indriyairapi yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktva atma shuddhaye. So this, whereas a person who has not yet become qualified for the stage of jnana, a person who is at the stage of nishkama karma yoga type 1, which is nishkama karma yoga on the platform of karma, yogina karma kurvanti, such a person performs his actions, while giving up attachment to the results, atma shuddhe, for the purification of mind. So, and he performs actions using body, mind, and intelligence, or even the senses alone. So, he utilizes all these things to perform actions for the purpose of purification of heart. So, if one has not reached the stage of either karma sannyas or grihastha sannyas, then one practices nishkama karma yoga while being detached from the material fruits of those activities. And then by that his heart becomes purified, then he becomes qualified to take up to either grihastha sannyas or karma sannyas. Yuktah karma phalam tyaktva shanti mapnoti naishtikim ayukto kamakarena phale sukto nibadyate. Qualified grihastha sannyasi, because he is internally detached himself from the fruits of those activities, he very quickly attains liberation. Whereas the unqualified, premature, immature karma sannyasi, he becomes tortured by material desires, having given up the means of giving up those material desires, which is nishkama karma yoga. So therefore, he becomes bound to this material world. So sarva karmani manasa sannyasyaste sukham vashi navadvara pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayam. So this grihastha sannyasi, he is sarva karmani manasa sannyasya. Because his heart is completely purified, he has internally renounced action, even though externally he is still practicing it. So therefore, even while externally engaged in this kind of varnashrama activities, he is very peacefully situated in his in this nine gates, which is his body. And such a person, he does not do any action, nor does he cause anyone to do anything, which means he will not get any reaction for his action. So now, then if a person is performing action which generates reaction, who is responsible for this? Is it the Supreme Lord who is responsible for a person to engage in some kind of actions? So he says, na kartritvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karmaphala sanyogam swabhavastu pravartate. So he says, the Supreme Lord does not create the doership of the jiva, nor does he, the Supreme Lord, force reactions on the jiva. Then what is the cause of the living entity performing particular actions and generating reaction for that? Swabhavastu pravartate. It is his, the jiva's nature that he has accumulated to spending time in this material world. So then He says, Nadatte kasyachit papam nachaiva sukritam vibuhu. Agyane navritam jnanam tena muyyanti jantavaha. So if that swabhava is influenced by the avidya patali, then it covers the knowledge. The jiva's knowledge is covered by that ignorance and the living entity remains bewildered. Okay. On the other hand, if the jiva's swabhava is covered by vidya potency, then jnanena tu tad agyanam yesham nashitam atmanam tesham adityavad jnanam prakashayati tatparam. So if that jiva's swabhava is influenced by the vidya potency of maya, then that reveals the knowledge of the self and the jiva becomes enlightened by that. So therefore, a jiva's action is inspired by swabhava and it is not directly inspired by the Supreme Lord. Because if the Supreme Lord directly inspires the jiva's action, he pushes the jiva to act in particular ways, then it makes no sense to hold the jiva responsible for his actions and punish him or reward him, because the punishment or reward should go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But here Krishna clearly says, swabhavastu pravartate. It is inspired by swabhava only. Okay. Then Krishna says that tad buddhayas tadatmanas tannishta tat parayana gacchanti apunaravrittim jnana nirduta kalmashaha. He says, it is not just sufficient if one gets self-realization by the vidya potency. Ultimately, one has to develop some bhakti at least as an element. Only by that bhakti element and then one can realize the Paramatma, and by realizing that Paramatma, then only one can achieve liberation. Otherwise, only self-realization through the vidya potency is not sufficient for one to attain liberation. That's what he says. Tad buddhayas tadatmanas tannishta tatparayana. Okay. Tad refers to the Supreme Lord. Those whose intellect, mind, and faith are fixed in Krishna or the Paramatma, and tatparayana, those who are absorbed in glorifying and serving the Lord, which means at least as a secondary limb of jnana, when one performs bhakti, then jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha, then being washed of all ignorance by knowledge, gacchanti apunaravrittim, that person attains an abode from which he does not return back, which is Brahma Jyoti. As I mentioned the other day, this is one place where Krishna directly says that, I mean, this is little indirect because we are discussing the path of chapter on jnana. The destination that he is talking about is impersonal Brahma Jyoti only. And then he says that apunaravrittim, one does not come back having attained that place. Then it is mentioned in the next verse. Okay. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva shvapake cha pandita samshina. And such a person who is qualified for liberation, who has reached the Brahma Bhuta stage, samadarshina, he sees equally vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane. He sees equally a brahmana who is endowed with knowledge and good conduct, the cow, the elephant, the dog eater, and the dog. He sees all of them equally. So he is a, you know, Brahma Bhuta or a Sthita Pragya. Okay. So, because how can you say that there is no difference? Because the difference is in the mode. The difference is in the, a Brahmana may be in Sattva Guna, an elephant may be in Rajoguna, a dog may be in Tamoguna, a dog eater may be in Tamoguna. But because he has nothing to do with these three gunas and products of three gunas, therefore for a person who has reached the stage of Brahma Bhuta, he does not make such a distinction because it makes no sense to him. Okay. Because he is beyond the gunas, he does not make distinctions. So like last time we saw this example of, asking a devotee, would you like, what do you like, do you like filter coffee Or do you like instant coffee? Or do you like tea? What do you like? You know, what would you prefer? He says, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't drink any of them. So similarly, for a person at the stage of jnana, he does not make such distinctions because he has the ability to see Brahman, which is beyond the gunas. Ihaivatair jitasargo yesham samye sthitam manah nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmani te sthitah. So yesham samye, so those whose minds are thus situated in this kind of samadrishti, you know, pandita samadarshina, so those whose mind is fixed in this kind of seeing equality, jitasargo, they can easily cross over this ocean of material existence. Nirdosham hi, and such people have no fault which will bind them to this material world. Samam Brahma, because they are seeing equally everything as Brahman. Tasmad Brahmani te sthitah, that's where said to be situated in the Brahma Bhuta stage. They are situated on the level of Brahman. Okay. Na prahishyet priyam prapya nodvijet chapya prapya cha priyam tirabuddhi rasam moodo brahmavid brahmani sthitah. So such a person, so further his qualities are described of this Brahma Bhuta person who has reached the stage of Jivan Mukta. He is ready to be liberated now. So such a person, sthira buddhihi, his intelligence is fixed in Brahman. Okay. And asammodaha, he is free of all kinds of bewilderment. Why? Because there is no raga and dvesha. So, इच्छा द्वेष समुत्तेन द्वंद्व मोहेन भारत सर्वभूतानि सम्मोहम् सर्गे यान्ति परन्तप. सो वाट बिंड्स वन एंड बेविल्डर्स वन इन दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड इज इच्छा एंड द्वेष. इच्छा द्वेष समुत्तेन द्वंद्व मोहेन भारत सो सर्वभूतानि सम्मोहम् यान्ति. सम्मोहम् मीन्स इंटेंस अब्सॉर्प्शन इन दिस इच्छा द्वेष इच्छा द्वेष इच्छा द्वेष. But because he has transcended that stage, he is asammoda. He is not bewildered by this. Why? Because he is Brahmavid. He has the knowledge of Brahman. Brahmani sthitaha. He does not just have the knowledge, but he is also situated on that platform of Brahman. Therefore, na prahrishyet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam. Therefore, he does not rejoice on attaining what dear and lament on attaining what is not unfavorable or agitate. Na udvijay, he does not become agitated by not attaining what is not favorable. Okay. Bahya sparsheshu asaktatma vindati atmani yat sukam. So Brahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. He says, he who has attained the happiness of Paramatma within the soul, bahya sparsheshu asaktatma, because he is experiencing the higher taste, he is not attached to the happiness that comes from sense objects. Why? Brahma yoga yuktatma, because he is totally absorbed in Paramatma. That person, saha, akshayam sukham ashnute, he attains permanent happiness. Such a person attains permanent happiness. This is the description of one who has reached the stage of Brahma Bhuta stage. Okay. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. Before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. Let me see how many slides we have got. We have just about 15 slides. Krishna willing, maybe we should be able to complete the chapter today. Let's see what is Krishna's desire. So, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, you can please go ahead. Yes, Ramacharya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, so that Sunichaiva Swapakecha verse. So who is that person? Is it the person who has come to that stage where he's not seeing the difference between Grihastha Sannyas and Karma Sannyas and has sufficient purification and is qualified for liberation? That's the person we are talking about?
Yeah, the one who has reached the stage of, not only that, subsequent to that, he has also meditated on the Paramatma and attained Paramatma realization also. So, he is not just self-realized. but he is, because that Vidyavinaya Sampanne person, he is self-realized. But this person is beyond even that self-realization. He has even realized Paramatma. So therefore, such a person is he is qualified for. He is more qualified actually. He is just, he is a Jivan Mukta now.
But he is not fully engaged in pure devotional service by taking the limbs of the bhakti, Navada bhakti.
No, no, he is not a pure devotee, but he practices bhakti as a secondary limb. He practices.
I see. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Keshav Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dandavad Pranam Swami. Prabhuji, here we are continuously saying Krishna is glorifying Jnana Yoga, is explaining so much shlokas of Jnana Yoga, Prabhuji. In even many places we see him glorifying. Then why is it our acharyas are rejecting this Jnana Yoga, Prabhuji? Krishna himself, like it is in Vedas, and Krishna himself is glorifying so much. Why is that our acharyas are rejecting it, Prabhuji?
They are not rejecting Jnana Yoga. First, we have to understand very, very clearly.
Okay.
They are not rejecting Jnana Yoga. First, they are telling, what do you want? If you want Krishna Prema, then Jnana Yoga is not going to give you. So, right now, it is not just Krishna who is glorifying. That glorification is explained by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, who is an Acharya only.
Yes.
So that is how the very fact, how do you know that Krishna is glorifying Jnana Yoga? Only because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is explaining it here.
Yes.
Right? So they are not rejecting. What they are telling is, what is your goal? If your goal is Krishna Prema, then this Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga is called Shramaya Vaihi Kevalam. So therefore, when Prabhupada says, oh, this Jnana Yoga, he talks about Bhakti Yoga only. Ashtanga Yoga, he talks about Bhakti Yoga only. Karma Yoga, he talks about Bhakti Yoga only. Why? Because he is talking to people who have accepted the goal to be Krishna Prem. So, for such people, by very elaborately understanding these other yogas, what they are going to achieve.
Okay.
Like that.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. If there is no further discussion points or comments or questions, we will move on to today's discussion. Krishna willing, we will see. Yes. Shyamali Mataji.
Sorry. So in the earlier verses, it was discussed that a person reaching grihastha sannyas, the advantage of taking up grihastha sannyas is that if there are impurities that affect him, like, you know, if his early condition, or whatever, if impurities affect him, then there is varnashram that can purify him. So which means, even in the path of karma or jnana or ashtanga also, like, it was like varnashram purifies you and then you take up the jnana path and you take up jnana, right? But there, the possibility of you being contaminated again is there in that path also.
Mati, like, your voice is little bit breaking. Is it that is your internet all right?
Okay, maybe I'll just try. Just 1 second, please. Sorry.
Am I audible now?
Yeah. There is no problem with your volume, but it was breaking a little bit.
Ask if it's breaking again, then I'll
no,
send the question and
this
chat.
This is clear. You can speak now.
Fine. No, so my question was, in grihastha sannyas, there was a point made that if the person gets contaminated by impurities again, then varnashram can purify him.
Correct.
So my point was, then again, that's a similarity to the bhakti path again, because until now, what the understanding was that varnashram purifies you. You are completely purified. And after that is when you take up sannyas.
Correct.
If the possibility of being contaminated is there, because even in the path of bhakti, that was what was accepted, that even until the stage of bhava, also some anarthas, all the anarthas are not, right?
Yeah.
So it's a very parallel path in a way.
Well, it seems like that. Let us see what is the difference. Okay. So, in Varnashram Dharma, Varnashram purifies, Bhakti also purifies. Right? So, Bhakti purifies faster, Varnashram purifies slower.
Okay. So, that is one difference, definitely.
So, that is one thing. Second thing is, Varnashram only purifies the anarthas, but there is no artha pravritti by Varnashram. There is no attachment to Krishna that is generated by Varnashram. Vishvaksena kata suyaha na utpadaye yadiratim shramaye vai kevalam. So that is a very but by bhakti there is development of attraction to Krishna also parallelly. And the third thing is that if you take up to sannyas, that is a social change. And not that after taking up to sannyas, you can be contaminated. It is a person who has not evaluated his own progress properly and misevaluates himself to have actually achieved complete purification. Only he may realize later that, oh, actually I am not purified completely. Okay. So, yeah. So when you take...
It's a rare event. That's what you mean to say.
It's not rare, but anyone can misevaluate. The problem is that there is the cost of misevaluation is strong because there is a social change here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You give up grihastha ashram and take up to karma sannyas. So because that social change is there, later if you revert back, then the social repercussions are very strong. But in the practice of bhakti,
I was speaking only about grihastha sannyas, right? The point came in the grihastha sannyas that if the impurities,
if impurities is there, means that grihastha sannyasi was not yet a grihastha sannyasi. It was just that there was a slight problem with evaluation. So he was almost a grihastha sannyasi, but he thought he had reached it. But anyway, it does not matter, right? So your Varnashram is there to fix it up. So it will fix it. And then once you fix it, then you can, even though externally you are performing your Varnashram duties, internally, you can meditate on Brahman and do all that.
Yes, Prabhupada. Yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. There is a question in the chat box. Without performing bhakti as a secondary limb, is that Jnana Yogi, can they not attain their goal? No, they cannot attain their goal. Yenya Ravindaksha Vimukta Manina. You know, they can only be Aruhya Krichrena Param Padam Tataha Patantyado Anadrita Yushmatangare. They will fall down from their position of imagined superiority. They don't even reach that superior position of liberation. They cannot attain their goal. Mogasha Moga Karmano Moga Jnana Vichetasa Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shita. Krishna says, all their endeavors for karma, jnana and yoga will all be baffled. So they cannot attain that goal if that element of bhakti is not there. Shemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai shubhadrashyavase namo. Tapasvino dhanapara yashasvino manasvino mantra vidasumangala. Shemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam. So without the limb of bhakti, they cannot attain the success of their practices. It's not possible. Okay. If there is no further discussion points or comments or questions, we will move forward to today's discussion. So we have been discussing about the person who has reached the stage of Brahmabhuta stage. Okay. So then he says, Krishna continues in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Yehi samsparsha jaboga dukkha yonaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya natesho ramate budaha. So he says, Yehi samsparsha jaboga, the enjoyments arising from the sense objects. Okay. Dukkha yonaya evate, they are all causes of suffering. Okay. Adi antavantaha, they have a beginning and they have an end. Because the previous verse said, akshayam sukham ashnute, the bliss of liberation is permanent, non-diminishing happiness. But on the other hand, the bliss of material sense enjoyment is adi antavanta, it has a beginning and it has an end. Therefore, Buddha, an intelligent person, na teshu ramate, he does not enjoy them. So why this person who has attained the stage of Brahmabhuta, you know, when there is so much enjoyment available for him, why he is not enjoying? Because he understands that this, the nature of the samsparshaja bhoga, enjoyment arising from sense objects, is that eventually it causes suffering and it has a beginning and it has an end. Therefore, an intelligent person does not take pleasure in such activities. So he says, an intelligent person does not attach himself to material pleasure because adyantavanta, it has a beginning and it has an end. And it is the cause of suffering. Okay. It is the yoni of suffering. It is like an eclairs, right? So you have outside is caramel, inside is chocolate. But what is visible is the outside. So similarly, samsparshaja bhoga is also like that. You see pleasure outside, but once the thin veneer of pleasure evaporates, inside there is only suffering. At least there is the suffering of, you know, that pleasure coming to an end. And even before it ends, the anticipation of that pleasure going to end very soon, that also causes pain. Then once it actually goes away, then it causes all the more pain, like that. So therefore, shaknoti haiva yasodum praksharira vimokshanat kama krododbhavam vegam sayuktaha sa suki naraha. So he says, but that person yaha sodum shaknoti, but that person who can tolerate ihaiva, in while in this world, if he can tolerate the vegam, agitation caused due to kama krodha udbhavam, which is caused due to kama and krodha, prak sharira vimokshana. Okay. He who can tolerate in this world the agitation arising from lust and anger before being liberated from the body. Saha yogi, saha yuktaha. He is a yogi, saha suki naraha, and he is happy. But one who tries to constantly fulfill that desire. So here, yuktaha means one who is at least endeavoring in the direction of success. So a person who tries to tolerate the agitation of lust and anger before being liberated from this body, he is a yogi and such a person is happy. Okay. So therefore, he says, Yontas sukontararamas tatantar jyoti revayah sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto digacchati. Yaha antaha sukaha, he whose happiness is within, in realizing the self and the paramatma, antar aramaha, he whose enjoyment is within, tata antar jyoti revayaha, and whose sight is within, saha yogi, he is a yogi. Brahma Bhutaha, and he has attained the stage of Brahman. And very soon, Brahma Nirvanam Adigachati, he attains liberation. Okay, so these are further, you know, symptoms of a Brahma Buddha. Or as we saw in the third chapter, similar thing. Yastu atmarati revasyat atmatriptaschanava atmanyeva hi santushtastasya karyam na vidyate. Like that. So, so here he says, this verse states that one who transcends samsara attains realization of the state of Brahman, which is happiness. Okay. He who has happiness in the soul, antara, because he enjoys in the soul, not by the external objects, and therefore directs his vision to the soul, attains the happiness of Brahman. Okay. Later, Vishwanath comments that this phrase means liberation. So he attains Brahman means he attains liberation. Okay. Okay. Then he says, Labante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayah Kshina Kalmashah Chinnadvaida Etatmanah Sarvabhuta Hite Ratah. So he says, Rishayah, the sages, Kshina Kalmashah, the sages who are devoid of ignorance, Chinnadvaida, who have overcome all the dualities, yatatmanaha, who have completely controlled their mind, sarva bhuta hite rataha, and who are engaged in the welfare of all beings, labante brahma nirvanam, such people attain liberation. This verse shows how many persons attained perfection through this practice. Okay. So such persons, they eventually attain liberation. Labante brahma nirvanam. So brahma nirvanam means merging in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, Sahijya Mukti. And then the same thing was mentioned there, which said that what is that verse? Vishate tadanantaram. Sorry, not this. Yeah, gachanti apunaravrittim. They go to that place from where they do not come back. And what is that place? So here he says, Labante Brahma Nirvanam. So that entry into the Brahman. By attaining that Brahman, they don't come back again. Like that. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as that? Okay, if there is none, let us continue. Next. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. Kama krodha vimuktanam. So those who have become free of lust and anger, yatinam, who sincerely endeavor, yata chetasam, yata means controlled. Chetasam refers to, it can refer to the mind, but here it refers to the subtle body. Okay. So yata chetasam, who having weakened the subtle body. So weakened the subtle body means what? The urges have become weak. Okay. So those who have become free of lust and anger, who sincerely endeavor and who have weakened a subtle body, and vidita atmanam, and who have already realized the paramatma, avito brahma nirvanam vartate, they very soon attain the brahma nirvana liberation. So you see here, he is talking about realizing paramatma, and this is a chapter on jnana yoga. So paramatma realization is very much a part of jnana yoga also, right? So he says here, so when will those who have realized the soul and super soul attain happiness of Brahma Nirvana? So after, at what stage they will attain merging into the super, merging in the Brahma Jyoti? This verse explains. Yata Chetasam means those who have reduced the functions of the mind and weakened the subtle body. Being freed from lust and anger and having weakened the functions of the mind, they attain Brahma Nirvana completely in all ways. This means without much delay, they attain Brahma Nirvana. Very soon they attain Brahma Nirvanam. Richati. Like that. Any discussion points? Okay. If there is none, we will continue. Sparshan kritva bahirbahyam chakshush chayvantare bruvoho pranapanau samau kritva nasabhyantara charinau yatendriyamano buddhir munir moksha parayanaha vigate cha bayakrodo yasada mukta evasaha. Yaha, that person, sparshan kritva bahirbahyam. So that person who keeps the sense objects outside, away from himself, chakshuhu cha eva antare bruvoho, and focusing on the eyes between the brows. Okay. So here, so why he is talking about something which sounds like Ashtanga Yoga? Okay. Focusing the eyes between the brows. Prana apanav samav krutva. Nasa abhyantacharinav. And equalizing the prana and apana and moving in the nostrils. And thus controlling the senses, mind and intelligence. Completely dedicated to liberation. Thus freed from the desire, fear and anger is ever liberated. So these, you know, focusing the eyes between the eyebrows. So this is something which is practiced by the Ashtanga Yogi, right? So, and you know, equalizing the prana and apana. This is pranayama, which is a practice of Ashtanga Yogis. And control the senses, mind and intelligence. And completely dedicated to liberation, thus freed from the desire of fear and anger. Vigata iccha bayakrodo sada mukta eva saha. Such a person is ever liberated. So he says, the heart becomes purified by performance of Nishkama Karma Yoga offered to the Lord. Then arises jnana, whose subject is the soul. Then arises bhakti for gaining knowledge of the Lord, which is Paramatma. By the appearance of that knowledge of the Lord, which is beyond the modes, one gains realization of Brahman. Okay. This has been stated in this chapter. Okay. So now, till now what what Krishna has described in this chapter, he says, by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, first, the heart becomes purified. When the heart becomes purified, one becomes qualified for jnana. When one becomes qualified for jnana, then one focuses on self-realization. But that jnana alone is not sufficient. One should also have the limb of bhakti or the element of bhakti to gain knowledge of the Lord or Paramatma. Okay. So now, by the appearance of that knowledge of the Lord, which is beyond the modes, one gains realization of Brahman. Okay. So they have knowledge of the Lord, but realization of Brahman. Okay. So this gaining knowledge of the Lord is the third step, and then gaining realization of Brahman is fourth. Okay, so this has been stated in this chapter. So now, in three verses, okay, verses 27 to 29, the Lord speaks in abbreviated form what he will explain in the sixth chapter. What is the sixth chapter? That the process of Ashtanga Yoga practiced after having purified the heart by Nishkama Karma Yoga is shown to be superior to the process of Jnana Yoga for producing the realization of Brahman. So, you will see that as we saw in the beginning, that there is Sakama Karma Yoga, then there is Nishkama Karma Yoga, and when the heart becomes purified, there actually three paths we saw. There is Nishkama Karma Yoga type 2, or Jnana Yoga, or Ashtanga Yoga, okay, for attaining the same liberation. So now, in this sixth chapter, he is going to show that how this practice of Ashtanga Yoga is actually superior to the practice of Jnana Yoga for liberation. That is why he will say, Tapasvibhyo diko yogi jnanibhyopi matodikaha. Kadmibhyascha diko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjana. You know, that is what Krishna is going to do at the end of that chapter. So he says, the word sparshan stands for all the sense objects, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. So that's what he says. Sparshan kritva bahir bahyams chakshus chaivantare bruvoho. So what is that Ashtanga Yoga? What does it constitute? Keeping the sense objects outside. So that is more like pratyahara, and focusing the eyes between the brows, that is more like pranayama, and equalizing the prana and apana like that, and in that way controlling the senses, mind and intelligence, and completely dedicated to liberation, thus freed from desire and anger, such a person is ever liberated. So he says that externalizing these from the mind, just give me a second, externalizing these from the mind when they enter, that is withdrawing the mind from the sense objects, which is pratyahara, placing the eyes between the eyebrows with half closed eyes. The yogi should fix his glance between the brows in order to prevent both sleep and wandering eyes. He should focus to look at the tip of the nose. So the eyes should be half closed, because if it is completely closed, then they will sleep. If it is completely open, then it will be wandering everywhere. So he says, by extinguishing the upward and downward motions of the prana and apana, which move in the nostrils through inhaling and exhaling, one makes them equal. So by that means the senses, mind and intelligence are brought under control. Okay. So this is the path of Ashtanga Yoga, which is very briefly mentioned here, which will be described in detail in the next chapter, sixth chapter. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move forward? Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhu, I can hear you.
So Prabhuji, as far as I remember, last time you said that Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga are continuum. That means they are on similar lines.
Yeah. So true.
But then you said that Ashtanga Yoga is superior, right now.
So what I mentioned was, if you remember, we discussed two things. One is Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan's explanation of the yoga ladder, and then Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's explanation. So Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan explains that you know, there is a sakama karma yoga, then nishkama karma yoga for purifying the heart, and then there is jnana yoga for self realization, then ashtanga yoga for ashtanga, of course along with that bhakti is also there for paramatma realization, and then one attains, then one gives up the elements of jnana, karma, and ashtanga yoga, then what remains? Bhakti. Then one attains liberation. Okay, so okay. Here this ashtanga yoga is a limb of this whole process of gradual liberation. Okay, so the gradual liberation has to have an element of ashtanga yoga, it has to have an element of bhakti. In the initial stages, it has to have the element of karma, and it has to have the element of jnana also. Okay, so this is Baldev Vidya Bhushan's explanation. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, so this is where we discuss Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's explanation, where I mentioned, where was that? Okay, here. So here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, okay, you could either practice grihastha sannyas, or you could practice jnana yoga, or you could practice ashtanga yoga. So now, are they continuum or are they different practices? Actually, they are continuum only and different practices also. So when you say ashtanga yoga separately for liberation, it means it is primarily ashtanga yoga, but it will have some element of jnana and bhakti also. And if you say jnana yoga, it will be primarily jnana yoga, but it will have some elements of ashtanga yoga and bhakti also. So when Krishna says that ashtanga yoga is better, what he means is that practice for liberation, that gradual path which has the predominance of the limbs of ashtanga yoga, that is seen to be more powerful and effective than that gradual path which has a predominance of jnana. That is how you should understand. Does it make sense, Prabhu?
Okay. Yeah. So basically, continuum.
Yeah.
That Ashtanga Yoga with its limbs are higher up on the ladder.
Yeah. So, no. See, when he is comparing Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga, then what he is comparing is that ladder in which the Ashtanga Yoga limbs are predominant. There is only one ladder which we saw. But in that one ladder, sometimes the Ashtanga Yoga limbs may be more predominant, or the Jnana Yoga limbs may be more predominant. So if the Ashtanga Yoga limbs are more predominant in that ladder, then it is called as Ashtanga Yoga. If the Jnana Yoga limbs are more predominant in that ladder, then it is called as Jnana Yoga.
Okay. But ultimately it is the same benefit,
but Ashtanga Yoga is faster. Yeah. Same liberation only. There is no difference.
Same. Okay. So that other day, Prabhuji was asking the question of Paramatma realization, and after Paramatma realization, it will be merging into the Supreme.
That
will come through Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga both.
Yeah. So when you say that will forget about Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, that will come through this ladder. So whoever has to go through, the ladder. So in that ladder, someone will, so in this ladder, can say that so if the if there is a predominance of Ashtanga and a little less of Jnana, it is called as Ashtanga Yoga. In that ladder, if there is a predominance of Jnana and little less Yoga, then it is called as Jnana Yoga. That's all.
Right.
But ultimately, it should have the element of Jnana, Yoga, Bhakti, and in the initial stage, Karma. Everything should be there. Only then one will attain liberation.
Right. Makes sense. Right. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Keshav Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Almost the same doubt I had, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, what will the Jnana Yogis practically do, Prabhuji? Ashtanga Yogis, at least we know Yama, Niyama, Dharana, Pratyahara. Krishna has explained in detail, Prabhuji. But what will these people all will sit and meditate? What will they do, Prabhuji?
They meditate on the conclusions of the Upanishads. They engage in studying the Jnana Shastras.
So they'll be reading all the time, is it, Prabhuji? Not reading all the time.
There are other limbs also. If you read 3rd canto, 27th chapter, Kapiladev describes their practices.
Oh.
So the limbs are there.
Okay. But he will also be practicing Ashtanga Yoga also, as you said, Prabhuji.
Now. Yeah. He will. Okay. He also has to practice the limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. If you see there, the 3rd canto, 27th chapter also talks about limbs of Ashtanga Yoga that he practices.
Prabhuji, do they exist now, Prabhuji?
I don't know. Oh. They may. I have not seen.
All the Himalayas, there are so many yogis. Earlier, Radharasa Maharaj were written his journey home. Yeah. Prabhuji, he has mentioned about so many yogis. So,
yeah.
Are they still existing there, Prabhuji? Is it something like that?
I don't know. I have never been to Himalayas.
Okay. Hare
Krishna. Shyamali Mataji.
Prabhuji, so the element of bhakti that they practice as a secondary limb. So I was just thinking, they have withdrawn all the senses and it's almost like nullified everything, and then they have to come into the practice. So do they also have all these archanam and shravanam and kirtanam and smaranam, and do they have, there's a lot of variety in bhakti as we practice,
yeah,
when it's primary.
So, yeah. So it is like, also, for example,
also especially, sorry, Prabhuji, also especially the limb of Vaishnav Seva. So I just wanted to know if that aspect is there as when bhakti is practiced as a secondary limb.
Well, not everything. It is like going to a South Indian hotel. Not that you may not get North Indian items, but you will not get a lot of varieties there, you know. So you cannot have paneer paratha and kulcha, matar kulcha, and all those things you will not get. Some basic North Indian items, chapati, sabji, and those things you may get. So similarly, not all limbs of bhakti will be there. When you talk about bhakti practice as secondary limbs, but there are limbs of bhakti. For example, if you see the 3rd canto, 28th chapter discussion of Ashtanga Yoga, there is something called as Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam, which is mentioned as one of the limbs, where they meditate on the pastimes performed by the Lord in Vaikuntha. That is one of the limbs. Deity worship is one of those limbs. So some of the limbs are there, but definitely the amount of time that they may spend practicing those limbs and how much they consider those limbs to be superior to the limbs of Jnana and Yoga, etc., that kind of understanding they may not have, and how much they will value Vaishnava association and service to Vaishnavas, certainly not to the extent that the pure Vaishnavas value. They will value solitary meditation more than spending time with Vaishnavas. Like that.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So, If there are no further discussion points or comments, we will move on to the last verse of this chapter, famous verse. We will chant. Bhoktaram yajyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sukhridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim ritchati. Gyatva mam, knowing me. Bhoktaram yajya tapasam, who am the object of worship of the karmis and jnanis who do sacrifice and penance. So, bhoktaram yajya tapam, yajya book, tapo book. So, yajya book means the object of the enjoyer of the sacrifice, which is the object of worship of the karmis. Okay. And tapo book means one who is the enjoyer of the fruit of all the sacrifices that the jnanis do. So he is the object of worship of the jnanis. Okay. Bhoktaram yajya tapasam. And sarvaloka maheshwaram, the object of the worship of the yogis as Paramatma. So one who knows Krishna, gyatva mam, to be the yajna book, the object of worship of the karmis, tapo book, the object of worship of the jnanis, sarvaloka maheshwaram, the Paramatma who is the controller of everything in this world, who is the object of worship of the yogis, and sukhridam sarvabhutanam. Okay, and who is the object of worship of the devotees? The object, so how does a devotee see Krishna? Suhridam sarvabhutanam. So the friend of all living entities, and how? By giving instructions on bhakti. Okay, so one who knows Krishna to be the object of worship of karmis, the object of worship of the jnanis, the object of worship of the yogis, and the object of worship of the bhaktas, suhridam sarvabhutanam, shantim richati, this ashtanga yogi attains liberation. Okay, this ashtanga yogi attains liberation. So here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse explains that yogis who act in this way by obtaining the knowledge of Paramatma through bhakti, like the jnanis, attain liberation. So this verse explains that the yogis who act in this way by obtaining knowledge of Paramatma through bhakti, so just like we saw, the jnanis also attained the knowledge of Paramatma through bhakti. Similarly, the ashtanga yogis also, who attain knowledge of Paramatma through bhakti, they also attain liberation. He says, Bhoktaram, I am the guardian of the yajna of the karma yogis, and I am the bhoktaram, the guardian of the austerities of the jnanis. That means that I am the object of worship of the karma yogis and the yogis. I am the great controller of all people, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, who is the Paramatma, who is the object of worship of the Ashtanga Yogis. I am the friend of all entities. So this is how a devotee sees Krishna. Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. I am the person who gives benefit to all the living entities by instructions about bhakti through the medium of my devotees out of my mercy. Out of my mercy, through the medium of my devotees, I give instruction about bhakti to all the living entities. Therefore, I am Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. So, which means I am the object of worship for the devotees. Okay. So, he says, one cannot attain realization of me who am beyond the modes by Sattvaguna Jnana. It is not possible to attain realization of Krishna by Sattvaguni Jnana. The Jnana is in mode of goodness. The Supreme Lord is beyond the modes. So therefore, by the process of jnana, which involves sattva guna, which is in sattva guna, one cannot realize Krishna. I have said that I am attainable only by bhakti. Bhaktya aham ekaya grahyaha. So Krishna can be obtainable only by bhakti. In the same way, the yogi, only by bhakti, which is beyond the modes, by realizing me as Paramatma, the object of his worship, attains liberation. So without bhakti, there is no realization of the Lord, either as Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan. So this chapter explains that the jnani and the yogi, by nishkama karma yoga, attain liberation after realizing both Atma and Paramatma. You see here, this statement clarifies many of your questions, or the question that many of you have. This chapter explains that the jnani and the yogi, initially they have to practice nishkama karma yoga, they attain liberation, but when? After realizing both Atma and Paramatma, which means the Jnana Yogi also has to realize Paramatma, and sorry, the Jnana Yogi also has to realize Paramatma, and the Ashtanga Yogi also has to realize Paramatma. But both of them have to practice bhakti to realize the Paramatma, and then only they can attain liberation. So in this way, we come to the end of this chapter. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as I am? Okay, so if there is none, then we will pause here. I will not start a new chapter with just some 15 minutes left. So we can start 6th chapter next week. So till then, you have a very pleasant weekend. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srina Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.